Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. I arrived just in time. Anyway, alright, so some comments. It's mostly going to be just an overview, I guess, of some mathematical arguments. But they're really perspective arguments, so I guess I'll just... It's like me pointing out the fact that it's only twice the time and twice the weight. So even though it's four times the distance, you can't be fooled by that because it's twice the time and twice the velocity and twice the weight. So it's more of that. That really is, it's a decisive kill argument. A reasonable person should concede that, yes, these are significant facts. All those twos are really significant and they really can't be ignored. That has something to do with how gravity works. That it's about the time you're in the gravity. Oh, man, you're free falling. And when you're not free falling, you're still communicating your velocity, okay, to whatever it is that's stopping you from falling. So if you're not free falling in gravity, it's because something is stopping you from moving in the gravitational field, and the thing that's stopping you is absorbing the energy, the weight. Alright, so I think we'll do these text comments first. I believe so, yes. Alright, so somebody created a fake account, which I really hate, stealing, you know, Gottfried Wilhelm Leibniz's name. And, it's just so tacky to talk for another person. It's just such a rude thing. it's just, so slimy. That, yes, I'll block you if that's what you're doing. Okay, stealing people's identities is just such a tacky, crappy, slimy tactic. To give yourself fake, prestige is just really... really ugly as a behavior. So it starts with dude, just because this is a troll, and I guess the troll knows that, I'm not impressed by people who do this dude crap. Okay, I'm not your dude. Anyway, Gary is a real fraud here. Well, at least I have a real channel, okay, that, isn't disguised and hiding and trolling. The irony of beginning with even using the word fraud when you're under an assumed name is just, it's kind of ridiculously stupid. So Gary is the one spreading disinfo about physics. So of course there's no disinfo. There's just arguments against what is crappy, logic and, reasoning. I mean, it's not, and it's just overtly not true. You state things that you have no evidence for, and you state it as if it's a proven fact. So that's not just fraud. It's malicious fraud. It's, it's really bad. Anyway, F equals MA, or F equals MV divided by T. So these are, he's missing the little bits. He can't make a little change signal here, I guess. I mean, it's really a huge distinction when you use the change in something versus, its origin, what it's made out of. And the change is always going to be in the same elements or pieces that the thing that you're saying changed. So if I say a rhinoceros changed, I'm still in rhinoceros, I can't change the units. I don't need to recreate the units because the change is already in the units. If I'm going to measure the change in the length of something, it's already in the units I've established I'm measuring in. The change doesn't need to be reunified. F equals P divided by T. So that's obviously the same thing as the, MV divided by T. Those are exactly the same thing. So that's legitimate. And A equals V over T. So that's the part that's kind of strange, right? Because it's not. All it is a change in your velocity. Why would you put it over T? So this will bring us to some comments, you know, on the, yeah, I think they're up. Why aren't they showing? Oh, you can't see them through the other thing. Yeah, okay. This is complicated. So the Alex Z guy is making a point to another commenter, pointing this very fact out. Why do you don't need to put the units? You already have the units. The change in the velocity is already going to be in units of that are divisible by time in per second or per hour or per some sort of unit. So the units already exist. You don't need to recreate the units. So, yeah, it's just a change in velocity, period. Not over time. There's no, you don't need any time derivative here. You don't need to put time in the denominator. There's no use for it. Doesn't do anything. Doesn't serve any purpose except to create an extra unit. So now you can square velocity later. And that's all it's for. It's a gimmick. All right. And the integral of momentum, that is mv, is kinetic energy. So that doesn't even make any sense, right? Because the kinetic energy is so much higher than the momentum in terms of its like exponential. You could argue it could be either much lower or much higher, but it doesn't make much sense, right? How could you make something more out of something that's less? So even that doesn't make much sense. So E equals 1/2 mv squared. Gary doesn't understand mathematics nor basic physics. So I would argue that I understand language and reasoning well enough to know you don't say 60 miles per hour per hour. Okay, nobody does that. How fast did you drive? Well, I was going 60 miles an hour per hour. Nobody says that. Nobody does that. So I'm smart enough to figure that much out. All right. Then he said in another comment, fun fact, same thing. Right, I think it's the same thing, mvt, and then v over t. So acceleration is the change in your velocity, which would already be in miles per hour or meters per second. It would already, the change in your velocity is already going to be in units. You don't need to put it in units. Force is not. It's the same thing as momentum. Like, it's, the whole argument isn't, it's about Leibniz's argument. His argument is, should you replace momentum with the concept, okay, of vis viva, you know, living force. It's a replacement. You don't have both Muhammad and Jesus. You don't have two different saviors with whole different philosophies. One of them is God, God's son, and the other one isn't. One of them is the, whatever they call it, the coming of Christ thingy, the Messiah, and one isn't. That's the argument. And in this case, there is a real Messiah in the sense that most momentum works perfectly. Newton proved it, and you really don't need to go any further. It's done, and it was done. Okay, so by the end of the 1600s, everybody knew momentum works, and everybody knew mv squared didn't make any sense. And then somehow, okay, Rome got ruined, you know, and the truth got destroyed. All right, momentum is not the same thing as energy. So you can keep saying it, but it was to Galileo, Descartes, and Newton. That's what it was. All right, energy, kinetic energy, is the integral of momentum. So again, it doesn't make any sense to say that, because it's not. Velocity isn't a squared function. It isn't. It doesn't have geometric components. It doesn't fill a volume. It's a linear measurement. It doesn't have any area or volume. Okay, momentum is mv. Net force is F equals ma. So he said the word net force. Well, net force would be net acceleration. So again, if you want to be fair and say it right, well, then I wouldn't object. But you're not going to say it right. You're doing mass times and so any acceleration for any period of time. So what is that? That's not, you're just looking for the change in the velocity. So again, just cheating the argument. And then you say, yes, acceleration equals the change in your velocity over some component of time that you don't need, that's completely redundant and doesn't serve any mathematical purpose. So you claim to be a expert on math, well, what's the purpose of it? The velocity, the change in the velocity is already in units. It's already in meters per second or whatever. So why do I need to measure the time? What is the time? It's how long the acceleration took isn't meaningful. And if I actually did your math, that is, I actually divided the change in the velocity. Let's say the change in the velocity was 5 meters per second. And then I divided by that by the time that I measured that change over, which would be, say, 0.3 seconds. Then the acceleration isn't going to be the change in the velocity anymore. It's going to be a much smaller number, a tiny number, compared to what it would have been. So it wouldn't even work if you solved your math right at that point. Your math gets a different answer. So, you know, you can't do all this derivative and integral crap if what happens when you do these replacements is you end up with different answers. If you end up with different answers, it means your replacements weren't correct. Okay, and your two equations solved at one point get one answer, and when they're solved at another point, they're going to get a different answer. You can't do that rationally. You can't inject replacements into your formula and get a different solve of the equation. If the answer is different, then you made a mistake somewhere. I know enough about math to know that's true. Do you know that? Acceleration is change in velocity divided by time. Divided by what time? Why would I divide the change in the velocity? The acceleration is the change in the velocity. What do I need the time for? What do I care how long it took for it to change? How is it significant? How is it useful? How does it indicate? How does it make the change in the velocity improved by dividing it by some number of time units? Some number of seconds or hours or years. How do I make the value of the change in the velocity more real by changing the number? I already know the number. It's 5 meters per second. That's the change in the velocity. Now, why would I divide it by some sort of number? I already have the right answer. You can't see how that doesn't make any sense? Yeah, of course you can't see it. Oh, okay, sorry, yeah, I don't have the right thing up. Yeah, so this is what I just read, and you can see it, blah, 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 not much to it. Blah, 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 blah. All right, so we'll get to this other co-wrap. I'm just wondering what order I should do this in. We'll just do the comment first, and then I'll draw the images. Like, you know, I don't think I'll have to draw a lever again, but who knows? All right, so somebody said here, one of these just nothing comments, speed equals distance divided by time. So he's using the word speed instead of velocity. All right, and so the argument would be is, yes, you want to detect the velocity, you take a piece of time and you say how much distance to travel in that piece of time, and that'll give you the velocity. So nothing wrong there. And he says, acceleration equals change in speed. So it's the change in your velocity. And why wouldn't you just say period? That's acceleration. Acceleration is change in your velocity. Why would I divide by any unit of time? What is the time unit doing? It's not accomplishing anything. It's not doing anything. If I solve the equation for acceleration right now, so I don't change anything. I just say, okay, what's the change in the speed? 6 miles per hour. How long did it take for it to change? 0.3 seconds, like I said. I'm not gonna get a number that's going to be rational for acceleration. So right there, you're in big trouble. This doesn't give you an accurate number for acceleration. All you need is to understand the change in the velocity. You don't need divide by time. So it is seconds squared in the denominator. Well, only because you're forcing it to be. You're only because you've contrived a fake definition. And that's it. Alright, so we'll read the Alex comment, because this one is actually gets to the point, which I still don't understand why he's disagreeing with how I said it. So I guess he says he's saying it right. He doesn't like the way I said it. So I'll read the way he said it. Alright, the commentator below. It is understood that the denominator is squared. So that part, it's understood that Well, anyway, he says, the question is why. Yes, exactly. Why would I take the accurate answer for the acceleration and make it inaccurate by dividing by an arbitrary amount of time? Does it make sense to square a second to you? So that's what I've been saying, right? How do you square a velocity in the first place? There's no geometry for squared velocities. How could squared velocities really be representing reality when you can kind of figure out that, no, velocity is a linear thing. It's just not a squarable unit. Does it make sense to square a second to you? Yes, time isn't a dimension, and it certainly doesn't have subdimensions. So, again, why would you square something that's not squarable? All right, I understand that the formula of acceleration multiplies times by itself due to its definition. Well, yeah, due to a bad definition. All right. Change in distance over time. Yes, so the change in distance over time is still the change in the distance isn't what you're measuring when you measure acceleration. But let's see. Change overt time. I don't know why I said over. It's overt. But anyway, the time is linear. Yes. Once accepted, the notion of velocity being a literal value which already implies a measure of distance over time. Yes, you've already created the unit, so you don't need to recreate the unit. Squaring a second is redundant. Yes, saying 9.8 meters per second is redundant. When you say per second, you're already saying, yes, I know you can have more than 1 second. You know, so you're already conceding it could be 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 100 million seconds, but there's no reason to square the seconds. You certainly know it's not, it's going to be a pretty random guess that squaring the seconds would actually work, that it was actually a squared number of seconds of time that the event took place in. All right, and unnecessary, unless you want to define it in terms of change in position. The expression meter per second squared is queer. Yes, meter per seconds squared is the way they say it. But anyway, or do you see it as I do? To preserve the units and retain the information of the value being dealt with, to differentiate velocity and acceleration, it is kept as seconds squared. So if that's what you think, if there's some reason you think you square seconds to differentiate, when squaring is a real activity. So again, it's not like it's saying, oh yeah, there could be any number of seconds. That's not what squaring says. So, I mean, that little piece of comment, in my opinion, is pretty lazy. So yes, apparently he still does think there's some reason to put the square on the second. So again, if I was going 60 miles an hour in my car and somebody asked me, you know, to write it down, you know, how fast I'm going, I should write it down as 60 miles an hour squared. Why should I do that? Oh yeah, I shouldn't do that. That would be stupid. Because we don't know how many hours I'm going to go. All right. Yeah, so that's enough of that. And so there is a video, but I guess we'll do some drawing first. Yeah, I'll play the video after I do the simple little drawing thing. Okay, so this is close enough to working. All right. So, back to the Galilean thing and perspective and kind of, look, I didn't think of it in this way 5 months ago, what Galileo was doing. So the whole idea of Galileo doing ramps was that he couldn't see something when it fell. So if he dropped something and just let it fall, he couldn't really time it. It was everything happened way too fast. So the whole idea of using ramps was his understanding that he could get the same effect in terms of creating energy in an object or motion by slowing it down, slowing down the process of it falling and breaking it down into a bunch of little falls rather than one long fall. And so the idea was, is it's a way he could see it. And then he put bells to see the distance traveled and all that stuff. And the realization was that in the first unit of time, you go that far. And in the second unit of time, you go that far. And it just doesn't matter what I do with this ramp. This is what I'm always going to get. And it represents exactly what's happening here. Okay, one unit of time, 3 units of distance. 1 unit of distance, 3 units of distance, and the same time, okay? Same time. And it's that sort of the giveaway, is, you know, that basically what you're doing is you're collecting your velocity, your energy, as you fall, and it's about how long you're in the gravity. They'll decide what kind of energy you've collected. Now, the trick with the ramp is you're going to be in the gravity a lot longer. This could take 10 seconds to, you know, if you make a small enough slope, you know, an angle, you know, you could make this take a very long time, okay, to get here. And what's happening off over that whole time? Well, what's happening is this gravity is working on whatever the object is, and the gravity, okay, all of it that isn't this energy, the falling distance, this amount of time and mass, all of it ends up going into the ground, into the ramp. So the ramp collects a lot of gravity, a lot of weight. So the weight is basically how much pressure you're putting on and how much for how long. That's the force. So the force equals the weight times the time. How much weight and how much time did you apply it? So the whole time, okay, that something's slowly rolling down the ramp, it's putting weight on the ramp. So if you put the whole ramp on a scale, and then you rolled things with these different angles, you'd find that, well, the steeper I make the angle, the less weight. The ramp weighs less for a given amount of time. Over a given period of time, the total weight I'll measure on the scale is going to be less and less because, yeah, there's less mass being pushed into the scale over that period of time, merely because there's less collecting gravitational energy because it has a mass. So again, understood that this is like the experiment of, you know, rolling things and seeing how far they roll. Again, all you're doing is saying this is the way I'm collecting the energy. So the Brozoites don't even understand that the whole point of the experiment is to pull the energy out of the objects by creating friction. And so you're measuring how much energy went into the ground as your way of collecting the energy, pulling it out of the object to say how much energy it has. Now what we don't do is say how much heat did the ground absorb. So their theory is, okay, that I have twice the velocity, so I have 100 units of velocity and 50 units of velocity. I get this huge 3-4, you know, one to four relationship in terms of distance, but that's perfectly understood that this speed, 50 miles an hour, won't be reached until you get here. This thing won't be going half its speed till it's three quarters down the track. These 3 units of distance, and that's a unit of time. So that's 1 second, and this will be 1 unit of time here, 1 second. So it's only in the gravity twice as long. It's only pushing on the ground twice as long. So it, you know, kind of logically you can understand it can only be producing weight twice as long. And it doesn't weigh more, and it doesn't weigh less. It weighs the same. And it's just putting the weight on the ground for twice as long. So how can I have four times as much heat in the ground? It was only on the surface twice as long. How could it create 4 times the pressure or the weight? Of course it can't, and it didn't. Because it can't, because it doesn't have 4 times the energy. There's no logic to these people trying to argue that somehow you can't recognize that. Again, I've I pointed out, if you're going by a gravitational body and you're going to shoot by it, the faster you go, the less time the gravity works on you, and the less you're bent. So if you go really slow, you get sucked in and crash. You go really fast, you barely even notice the gravity, because you're in it so long, so few seconds, so tiny amount of time for the gravity to work on you. So it's all about how long the gravity works on a mass will tell you how much energy it can collect from gravity. All right. So yeah, I don't even need to use the lever argument. I can just use this argument, and it should be apparent to somebody that, yes, distance is a, you know, obviously when you're going fast, you're going to cover more distance, and this is the real giveaway. The fact that it's only twice the time, and you don't even lose half your velocity till you're 2-3 quarters down the track. So you've gotten all of this for the same amount of friction as you get this little pile. Same friction here as is here. And that's the truth. So they say I'm lying and cheating and distorting to point out these facts, okay? And they're decisive facts in the sense of proving this isn't about 4 times the energy, because if it was, that this would be going 50 miles an hour here. Not here. All right. So that's some context. And then we'll do a video. All right. So this is a channel called Physics High. Haven't seen it before, I don't think. It's some English guy from the accent. Given to me by an old friend. Yes, a link. Anyway, and so it's sort of interesting. Anyway, so he's doing the cliche stuff. Okay, he's dropping an egg, and the argument is, you know, why does the egg break? And how can I stop the egg from breaking? And the basic argument is I have to take the force that's going to be applied to the egg, and I have to spread over more time. And that's all you're doing. You're just giving the exchange more time to happen. So like in a Newton's cradle, where if I take the small mass and bang into the heavy mass, there isn't enough time to convert the high velocity of one object into the slower velocity the other object needs. The decelerations and accelerations won't match. What you need to do to the egg is create a circumstance where the energy transfer can take place more gradually. Okay, the exchange rate can happen. You need more time for all that exchanging to happen. The very fast speed of the egg and the very slow motion of the Earth, so to speak. The Earth isn't going to yield to the egg very quickly. So you have to extend the period of time over which the two are interacting for the egg to survive the exchange, okay, the transition, the deceleration. All right, so he illustrates this again by pointing out kind of the obvious, the speeding bullet versus the truck. And what he does is the momentum equation, and basically points out that what speed do I have to give the truck for it to have the same energy as the speeding bullet? And I think he came up with 1 centimeter per, it's not second, 1 centimeter per hour? Well, anyway, something like that. So the truck has to go 1 centimeter per hour to have the same energy as the speeding bullet. Okay, same momentum. All right, we probably can find that here. So that's the calculation for the bullet. All right, blah, 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 blah. And then he does the truck, 1 centimeter. All right, and let's see if we see what kind of unit he uses. Nope, went too far. Per second, okay, 1 centimeter per second. so this is going 42 something or something seconds, and this is 1 centimeter per second, blah, 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 okay. So that all makes sense. So then he goes to Newton. So we'll play this part, because he's now deriving Newton the way Newton would do it, okay, rather than the way conventional physics does it. And he's making the distinction in terms of calling it impulse versus calling it energy or force. But really, they're just word games. Everything's impulse. I mean, there's no other way you transfer energy other than impulse.
Actually discuss the second law in terms of momentum.
All right, I have to see if the volume's correct. That looks okay. This is okay too, so yeah, we're all right. Never mind.
Now, Newton's second law is often taught as this, that the force or the net force is equal to the mass multiplied by the acceleration. But let's see how we can look at this from the way that Newton looked at it. Now, we know that the acceleration is equal to the change of velocity with respect to time.
Right, so this, you know, it always looks deceptive. I mean, it's, you know, obviously it's velocity initial versus velocity final. You know, and they're using V and U, you know, so it just makes it kind of confusing. But again, this unit of time, is again, it's just kind of redundant. There's no way to calculate the change in the velocity in any other way than to understand it as you're going to describe the change in the velocity in units, in timed units. It's already in units. You don't need the T.
So if I put that into this equation here, I'm going to get M outside of V minus U over T. And of course, I can clean that up. I'm going to get MV minus MU over T. Now, can you see here what I have on the numerator? I have what we call the change in momentum. So the change...
So I don't know. This doesn't really clean up anything. You just have this redundant mass in here that's not really doing anything because you're not changing it. So you've lost all the change idea. That's all you really want to know is the change in the velocity. But anyway, this thing, he's deriving it, you know, he's not going to see, obviously he's not going to end up with 1/2 mv². Okay, so it's just a demonstration of how, okay, they can do it any way they want, really. They can just make up this math, frankly.
The momentum over time is equal to the net force being applied.
Right, so that's what Newton wrote. And again, net force has to be the net change in your momentum. So if I'm using the net force, it has to be the net change in my momentum, not whatever this T is doing. So again, this T is so bogus because it's frankly has to be already total. You're asking the total, even if you think of it directionally. So if you're going to say net force in a direction, so even if you're going to play your plus and minus games, it still has to be in the context that this has to be your net change in your momentum. Your net change in MV will equal your net force. So what would the time wouldn't be relevant?
Or another way I can write this is that the change of momentum is equal to the force multiplied by the time that that force acts.
So that's the big leap, and that would be the work equation in some sense, because all you're really saying is yeah, that's all that you've got really is force times time. It's not force times distance, it's force times time. How much time are you in the gravity? How much time do you go past the planet, right? Or the sun, or whatever it is, any gravitational body. How much time does it take you to get through that gravitational field? Well, the faster you go through the field, the less the field affects you. The slower you go through the field, the more the field affects you. I mean, that's about as rock solid as you can get, and yet conventional physics says no. That's not the right answer.
So there is actually a definition of our Newton's second law. Not
all right, it's the definition. Right, so this is how he derives the second law, and it creates a completely different, what you would call, work equation. Force times time, which is weight.
In terms of F equals ma, but the rate of change of momentum is the net force. Now this thing here of delta mv is called the impulse, or sometimes we write just simply I.
Right, and so there's no point in giving it another name, okay? The impulse equals the force. I mean, it's all the same thing. So, you know, or the weight, it's all the same thing.
And it is equal to the product of the force times the time. So what's this?
Which is the total weight.
Saying, well, if you have two situations where you have the same change of momentum, then you can...
Right, so the one situation would be, you know, the force of, you know, being applied by gravity by rolling something down the ramp versus the time of the force falling directly in the gravity. And obviously those two times are over a much different amount of time, and yet you get the same end result of velocity in the end.
Actually have different forces for different times. You can have an increase in time that will decrease the force, and vice versa. A decrease in time will mean an increase in forces required.
Right, so that could be understood as just a, you know, if you want to make it a volume issue, you're taking the same amount of energy and just putting it in a smaller and smaller amount of time, so it's much more intense, the pressure increases. So you could just think of time as the size of the vessel that the force is in, and that it gets colder and colder, weaker and weaker, the bigger and bigger I make the time. And the shorter amount of time that I apply the same force, the more and more intense it is, the higher and higher the velocity ends up being.
Try to do that. So now let's look back at our egg. When the egg reaches the ground, it arrives with a certain velocity.
All right, so this part's a little bit boring, but let's see if there's anything in here that, you know, so just saying, okay, so you put the sponge, obviously the sponge creates a conversion mechanism to convert the high velocity of the egg into something that can be absorbed by something. So now we're seeing other things deform rather than the egg. So now the energy is being absorbed by the sponge's deformation. And so now the egg is able to get rid of its energy to something that it can move, okay, that does have time to move. And so now it can lengthen the amount of time it's doing the exchange, which means that it has to exchange smaller denominations, so it's more easily, it can do the exchange.
It ends up being much lower. So the same change in momentum, the same impulse, but different forces due to different times.
Right. So that's a good point to emphasize, frankly. I don't know what else is in here. Well, let's just play it and see what else is in here.
Now, it's the same reason why sports people catch the ball drawing their hands backward. It lessens the force experienced on the hands. Now, obviously, if I drop...
it makes the conversion. It's the whole point, though. The whole point is that you have two acceleration. When acceleration of one object and deceleration of the other object don't match, then you end up with reflections. Okay? And our catastrophic failure of one of the objects, right? Because it can't absorb the energy and it breaks it. But the closer you can make the deceleration to the speed of the acceleration, the more smoothly the energy is transferred. That would be the way to say it, I think.
The egg from a greater height, I change the impulse. In other words, I change the change of momentum. And so if I want to prevent the egg from breaking, I'm going to need a larger sponge. And of course, if the object bounces, then the change of momentum is going to be greater because the final momentum is now a non-zero value.
Right. Well, this is kind of silly when they do the, it bounces and therefore it gained energy, because obviously it can't do that.
In the negative direction, and therefore the force is going to be greater. So let's apply this to car safety. In the early days...
All right, well, that's kind of boring. Okay, so he's just doing cars crush for a reason. Yeah, we already know that. And then we have airbags to, again, slow down your G-force deceleration. So now there isn't a harsh change in your speed. There's a gradual change in your speed. More gradual, I will say. All right, so that's all. Blah, blah, blah. So anyway, just a different perspective. At least he didn't do the classic make free energy. But I'm sure I can find videos where he is making free energy, so I'll look for those and see. You know, where they, you know, the classic example is, you know, you have a box. This is your experimental box. And I put something in going, you know, with 100 momentums into the box. And somehow, right, I can get 33 momentums coming back out of the box on this side and 133 coming out of the box on the other side. So I can end up with 166 momentums coming out of the box. They think that's reasonable because they think somehow there's some vector quantity versus their other language, which is scalar. And no, it's just illogical. The velocities never cancel. It's like when you crash the clay into the clay, or you crash anything into anything, all you're doing is changing which direction the force is moving in. So if the two things don't bounce straight back, they can bounce back in different directions. Pieces can break off in different directions. But the energy is always going somewhere. It doesn't cancel. There's no canceling energy. It always adds. It's always a sum. All right. Yeah, that's probably enough for a video. All right. So we'll call that a video. And such. And so forth and whatnot. Yeah. Good enough. So, till the next time and such. And so forth and whatnot. Yeah, I think that's all. Yeah. Thingy. Yeah. Yeah. Ew. Ugh, it's not a pleasant process. Anyway, till the next time. And such. So forth and whatnot. Yeah. So tedious.